All right, well, we're going to one of our top stories. It's Netflix. It is growing again, and as a result, perhaps Hollywood can breathe a sigh of relief, or can it? And joining us now to discuss the earnings is Geeta Ranganathan, Bloomberg Intelligence Tech and Media Analyst. So, Geeta, thanks so much for joining us. Give us an overview, first of all, of what Netflix said.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. So, this was the first quarter where we kind of saw this reversal of that subscriber slowdown, if you will. So they've returned to subscriber growth. That's a huge positive. And, you know, there's always been this concern about after they came out with those really weak numbers in the first half, whether this was kind of the beginning of the end for the streaming story. And it looks like it's not. They still have some growth levers left. And we not only saw that with the 3Q numbers, but we also saw pretty encouraging 4Q guidance kind of come in slightly above consensus. And remember that they haven't really factored in any of the upside that they potentially could get from that new advertising tier that they're about to debut. So yeah. I think there's a lot of optimism that's built into this report.
Yeah, it was interesting that they mentioned that wasn't really tied to that. So that may be coming. So obviously a lot to like here. I wanted to bring up one possible negative, and I know you'll address it well. Some naysayers say that this plan by Netflix to stop giving the subscriber numbers doesn't look good. I mean, normally if you've got great numbers, you like to spread them out there. I know there are Apple references that, you know, they stopped giving numbers on the sale of individual iPhones, and that didn't really hurt. But still, some people will look askance at this.
Yeah, I think it is an admission in some ways that this is no longer a subscriber story. I mean, this was for the past 15 years, it has completely just driven off of that one metric, right? Subscriber numbers. But now we've reached a point in the model where it's really kind of saturated, if you will. It's going to be somewhat of a low growth model. And so there has been kind of this recalibration across the streaming industry, not to have too much of this hyper focus on subscribers, and instead move to the metrics that really matter, which are the financial metrics. Because at the end of the day, you could have millions of subscribers, but you could be still losing money, which is exactly what we've seen with so many of these streaming stories. And so this is kind of an admission that we have to kind of move to those profitability metrics, to more of the financial metrics, to more of the end game, end unit economics. And so, yes, there is going to be a lot of volatility in their subscriber numbers. And they kind of want to avoid that drama quarter in and quarter out, I guess.
I want to look at the other side of all this, if you will, Geeta. You look at the amount of the landscape for Netflix, and there's a huge amount of competition now with HBO, obviously Disney Plus, and a variety of others. Is it better to be the owner of the platform, or is it better to be somebody who's making content and selling it into the various contents, as a company like Sony, for instance?
That's a great question. There's always been this big debate about, you know, is it better to be the content owner? Is it better to be the distributor? It's good to be both if you can, which is exactly what Netflix has become, right? They were originally this distributor of, you know, second run content, right? Just old TV shows, old movies. And then they finally made that big switch into making their own original content. And now they're one of the biggest content producers in the world. So ideally, you do need to have a great distribution mechanism, which they have kind of built. But at the end of the day, it is content that kind of feeds that beast. So it's good to have both, but I still give the edge to content.
And they're really tapping into, I mean, we look at these big numbers in Asia, they're tapping into non-English language shows. Extraordinary Attorney Woo was one, which is a favorite in our household, but there's so many other ones. And they seem to be connecting with these production houses in a lot of different countries.
Oh, absolutely. And as you pointed out, there are so many titles, local language titles that are resonating so well, not just in those markets, but across the globe. I mean, Squid Game was the greatest example of this last year. And as you just brought up, the other Korean title this quarter as well. And we're seeing them invest more and more in those local language titles. Remember, that not only helps them kind of diversify their genre, diversify their title, their slate, but it's also much lower cost to produce a lot of these titles compared to, you know, some of the English-speaking content. So all in all, I think it's a great win-win.
When it comes to advertising, though, they're going to be presumably taking on the same sort of pool of resources or money on ad spend for linear television, surely?
Yeah, they are looking to kind of get to kind of tap into that whole linear television market. In the US, this is about, you know, a $60, $65 billion market. Globally, it's about a $200 billion market. So they are banking on the fact that as those eyeballs kind of move away from TV, you know, more and more people are going to spend money on digital ad platforms.
Geeta, thanks so much for joining us. Excellent insights as usual. Geeta Ranganathan, Bloomberg Intelligence tech and media analyst.